allocating scarce resources in general. And one of the most scarce resources we have in our life is time. So how many people this morning went to a full sit-down breakfast? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How many people did like me and went to Starbucks? Now, if I ask you why, would the word time have any implication for you? Okay, so that's what we're going to be talking about. Basically, this idea of money and time and how that affects the decisions we make in terms of our diet. So the title is given money or time, which is more important for nutritious diet and policy. Standard disclosure, I don't have any disclosure to report. All I'm going to be doing today in 15 minutes, I don't have time to get into the details of how we calculate a lot of this, so this is based on several publications. This actually came out of a USDA report grant that we had work a couple of years ago, but several publications in several different places, Food Policy, Journal of Nutrition, Economic Letters, among some others. So I'm just going to be summarizing what we have. If you've got questions on the details, please, you can see me after, as I'll try to answer them for you. Okay. So a little bit of foreshadowing. So a guy named Gary Becker, who won the Nobel Prize a few years ago, makes this statement in his economic theory book. In the United States, the opportunity cost of time may be more important than the direct cost of goods. Okay. Well, I think Sean kind of, he didn't steal the thunder, but reduced it somewhat. It seems to be, yeah, in terms of the analysis we've done, time does appear to be more important relative. And let me, relative is underscored because money is still important. It's just relative to money. Okay? All right, so I want to give you some background facts. This is a little outline, a little short conceptual framework. Obviously, if I'm an economist, I have to give you one equation. It's required by the statutes of being an economist. Summary of recent research and conclusions and implications. So, what's the underlying issue here? So, from 1930 up to 2010, this is the trend in food at home expenditures, FAH, versus food away from home expenditures. And you see by 2010, food away from home expenditures have become 48% of our food expenditure budget. What implications does that have for nutritional quality? That is, what do we know about food at home versus food away from home? We're starting to get a pretty clear picture in aggregate. You know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you can't find a healthy meal away from home, because that's not true. But what we're talking about is in aggregate here, that food away from home is less healthy than food at home. And there's numerous articles written on this. The most recent is this last one. Lashot, Obesity reviews all the literature on this and comes to this conclusion. So what are the major determinants of food choices? Obviously, I'm going to argue that time is one, but there's been research on this. This is an article that was in a journal of the Association of Dietetics Association, American Dietetics Association. And all they're doing is putting weights. They ask people to weight these different attributes. Obviously, number one is taste. But then cost, convenience, and nutrition and weight control. Now, the point I want to make here is you notice cost, convenience, and nutrition all receive about the same weight, okay? Now, what that implies is if something is very cheap or something is very convenient, then you're going to probably be trading off that dimension versus one of these other attributes because you're putting about the same weight on it, okay? So what implication then does this have for the for our nutrition policies? So we've looked at, indirectly I should say, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, formerly known as the Food Stamp Program. And here's some background facts on that. The SNAP benefits can only be used for food at home. Now what that means, you can't go to McDonald's or Applebee's or whatever and they don't take food stamps. So you can go to the grocery store, but obviously within a grocery store there are a lot of products that range in terms of food preparation time. There are restrictions on what you can buy food stamps with. In general, they can't be too processed. The most important fact here is food production requires money and time. My daughter, who's 8 years old, is in charge of making my lunch every morning. And believe me, it's not the ingredients that bother her the most. It's the time, you know. So even if you have to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, it takes time. All right, so a key component of this is something called the Thrifty Food Plan. It serves as a national standard for a nutritious diet at a minimal cost and is used as the basis for the food stamp allotments. Okay? Each Thrifty Food Plan market basket identifies the type and quantity of foods that people in specific age gender groups could consume at home. Underscore, to achieve a healthful diet that meets dietary standards. The bottom line here is the Thrifty Food Plan is what determines the maximum benefits you can get under SNAP. There's a formula that translates from the Thrifty Food Plan to the SNAP, actual SNAP benefits, which we're not going to look at. But the underlying point here is the Thrifty Food Plan is actually a nonlinear mathematical programming model, which basically takes into account nutrition constraints that are based on the dietary guidelines of the U.S. and a cost constraint and also a consumption constraint as well. Point being, the Thrifty Food Plan gives the amount of money that you can hit these nutrition targets, the minimum amount, okay? All right, so what does the Thrifty Food Plan include in it? It does include the cost, but guess what it doesn't include? It doesn't include time, okay? So you probably see where this is headed. All right, so here's the brief conceptual framework. So in economics, we like to think about we're trying to meet some objective. All of us have some objectives in life. The objective here is we want to produce an output and we want to do it as cheaply as possible. So the two main inputs here are groceries or money and time. Okay, there could be other inputs, but we're going to think of these as the variable inputs in terms of money and time. Now, what does that imply? It implies that the full cost of a meal is the money cost plus the time cost, okay? It's not just the money cost, okay? Now, notice the logical implications. If you just look at the money, you're not going to get a good idea of what the full cost is. And if you just look at the time, you're not going to get a good idea of what the full cost is. Here's an example in a completely different area. Suppose someone asks you, how much does it cost for you to operate your car during a month? And you said, well, the oil cost me about $3. They say, great, $3 a month, that's pretty good. I think most of you would say, well, wait a minute, there's this thing you put in it called gas that costs a little bit more money, okay? So there's at least two inputs that go into operating a car, oil and gas, okay? If you ignore one of those, you're not going to get a full idea of what the cost is. Same idea here, okay? So what we have done in these several papers is we have looked at the money cost, which is the dollar value of food expenditures used in food at home production. And the reason we're concentrating on food at home production is that is where the SNAP benefits are targeted. The time cost is the dollar value of time in food at home production. This is a little bit trickier. The labor economists have several ways to do this, which we kind of follow suit. Two main ways are the market substitute and the opportunity cost approach. We have done both of those. The one we're going to look at here is the market substitute approach. Okay. Again, I don't have time to go into the details here, but we're going to be looking at single-headed households because those are the ones that are the majority of food stamp participants. We're going to be looking at weekly costs. We have data from three sources, USDA Thrifty Food Plan, the Food Security Supplement, the American Time Use Survey, and the Bureau of Labor Statistics. All right, so let's just get straight to it. Let me add a caveat here. All this stuff is based on distributions, so we have distributions over all these numbers. I'm just giving you the means, okay? All right, so the actual time that people spend in food preparation home per week for single-headed households is about 4 hours, okay? If you followed the Thrifty Food Plan, it would be 13 hours, okay? Now, that's the time side. What about the money side? The actual money cost, that is how much people are spending on food, on food expenditures, is about $107. But if they follow the Thrifty Food Plan, they only need to spend about $87. So immediately we see, if you just look at money, it looks like people are spending enough. Okay, but if you looked at time, obviously, you get a very different picture. All right. So what we do is we calculate this net full cost of Thrifty Food Plan. What is that? That is taking into account the labor cost to hit the Thrifty Food Plan and then subtract out how much time people are spending or the value of their time. Okay, so that's why it's net. We've taken into account how much time they are contributing. And you get a very different picture here. You see that to meet the Thrifty Food Plan, that is the dietary guidelines, you'd have to be spending $177, whereas they're actually spending about $107. So you get a very different conclusion here. Once you take into account time, they're not spending near enough. Whereas you've just looked at money, you would think they were spending enough. We also estimate some things called poverty rates. And this is just a head count. We are actually looking at other measures as well. If you just look at money, 38%, only 38% are below the money line. You look at time only, 99% are below. Put all this together, the net full cost, you get 87% or below, mainly because of the time. So compared to 38 and 87. So what are the conclusions of this? Time appears to be more important resource than money in food production, consistent with the SNAP nutritional standards. Once time is included, food poverty rates increase significantly. So what are our options for improvement? Well, there are basically three. We can change the time behavior to reach existing time targets. We can change the time target more in line with existing time behavior. And more money is better than the same or less money. So let's talk about those. Change the time behavior. Right. I'm not very optimistic. I'm going to sit here and tell you, please go home and spend 13 hours this week preparing food. I think there would be a revolt. However, there is research that suggests that nutrition education programs tend to mitigate this time pressure. So we need to keep doing what we're doing in terms of mitigating the effects of time pressure. Change the time target. That is, basically make it easier to reach a nutritious diet in terms of time. And that can be done several ways. Here are some. More time-saving nutritious recipes. If you go to USDA's website, they have 500 and something recipes. Last time I looked, there are only 40 to 30 minutes or less. Okay. Better organization of meal planning skills and utilization. I think this last one is a real big one that's got a lot of potential of technology to reduce meal-related time. Finally, more money is better. We've done some research estimating the elasticity of substitution, and that elasticity of substitution is very low between money and time. But more money, while it can't substitute for time, it will help individuals get closer to the nutritional target. So that relates to some different measures of poverty, depth and severity, which we are exploring. Thank you. Yes, yes. Right. No, that's a good point. This is all about food at home because that's where the SNAP benefits are targeted. So, and as I mentioned, and we talk about in the articles, there's a lot less uncertainty with respect to the time estimate. So the article does a simulation approach to actually get a distribution of times that are consistent with that SNAP benefits program. Yes, in the shawl. Very nice shawl.
Thank you. Sean, I'm pretty familiar with the statistics and the time being used at some of my work. And I think what's interesting to point out is that I can't remember the exact numbers, but I want to say it
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, I think time is consideration, but I think it's also a matter of discourse about where are people using their time.
Oh, certainly,
and
certainly.
What are people, you know, told to believe that cooking takes a really long time, and you might as well just grab your McDonald's and watch 4 hours of TV?
Yeah, certainly. This research does not say anything about choices. I mean, let's face it. You come home, you've been working all day, you're tired, you've got to feed the kids, you probably don't feel like cooking. American Idol's on. American Idol, I can be in the kitchen for an hour. American Idol, be in the kitchen for an hour. This doesn't say anything about that. The only point here is the amount of time required to be consistent with the nutritional standards, the best estimate we have, and there's more research needs to be done into that. It's extremely high. So it's not about, you're right, exactly right. One way to maybe improve that was if we could get American Idol canceled. That may help. Yeah.
Yes, I don't know, the nutritional standing kind of behind the times, because it's been shown, I think, very conclusively that a whole foods, plant-based diet is the healthiest diet on the face of the earth. However, when you look at those things, there are trade-offs because it takes more effort and time to peel an orange than to pour a glass of orange juice and drink it. But I think there are always going to be these trade-offs between convenience and the healthfulness of the food. But I think if we actually, I think the time trade-offs would be more reasonable if people would just get the not preparing some foods like meats and things like this that are really not good for your health.
I agree. We need to convince people that health is important and time is important. The reason we use the guidelines is that's what the Thrifty Food Plan is based on. So,
was part of the point that how we culturally value the time of food preparation versus watching American Idol?
Right.
That some cultures that we can learn from compared to my culture in Northern California where I live is that there's maybe a lack of appreciation of the relational value and the restful value that can come from food preparation that may have learned from.
No, I agree. There's certainly cultural impacts. There are numerous other variables that come into play. You notice I just focused on single-headed households, right? Some of the earlier research indicated the reason to focus on single-headed households is because dual-headed households, the time constraint is not as binding. I mean, I end up substituting time or specialization for my wife and myself. So while I'm watching American Idol, while I'm cooking, she can watch American Idol. Yeah.
We do need to move on to our next presentation, but there will be some time for additional discussion.